Hello and welcome to another episode of OKC Over Easy on the Spy Podcast Network. I'm Mallory Kraft and I'm glad you're here.
To another episode of OKC Over Easy on the Spy FM Podcast Network. This episode is sponsored by Coop Ale Works. So thank you, Coop, for sponsoring OKC Over Easy and keeping it local. Congratulations on the new location on 23rd Street, the old Armory building, which we'll talk about in a little bit. That's going to be our OKC talk section. But welcome to my guest, Greg.
I'm here. What's up, guys?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. I've been an old part of town, but and I realize this is a thing here.
I don't think Greg comes down here often.
Actually, I do. That's the bad part. I live like 5 minutes away.
So. He was very impressed by the spy. He was like, "Well, I've just never seen this place."
I've driven by here a lot, yeah. So
I didn't know about it until I came and was on one of the radio shows, and then I was like, "Okay, this is a place that you can come and hang out."
Right?
Yeah. Wow. And then Ferris gave me a key, so, you know.
Now it's dangerous.
I know. <Yeah. laughs> That was a weird day. He was like, here's a key. I was like, wow, I think I've graduated.
Yeah. I had like a job in high school, like running the gym. Remember they gave me a key like to open up. I feel like I had so much power.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's when you know. That's when you know. Greg is here and he is the CEO, the president, the owner of MyoBrain Performance. And we're going to talk about tracking macros. We're going to talk about nutrition and food and all that kind of stuff. We're going to get into that in a little bit. But tell me, what did you do today? This is a Saturday.
Yeah, my Saturdays are pretty lame.
Okay.
I just like worked out this morning.
Okay.
Sent some emails. I'm going to go to the pool and have some fun.
Good.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
But I tend to work a decent amount on the weekends.
Okay.
And then like Thursday and Friday, I kind of chill.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a little
you set
different.
Your own schedule because you
do.
Own your own business.
Yeah, which is sometimes difficult to do. People underestimate that.
Yeah.
It's really easy to not work sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Like on a Tuesday at noon, you're not motivated. It's like,
take a nap.
No one's telling me to go to work.
Yeah.
You know, I have to tell myself every time. So, yeah.
That would be hard. But then you also have that like flexibility too.
Yeah. It could be like a Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. and I'm like, oh, I want to do something.
Right. So
I mean, you probably still work the same. It's just a lot more sporadic than
broken up.
Typical. And I try to be somewhat regimented, but again, it's hard sometimes. You're not motivated.
Yeah.
To stick to a schedule only you know about. You know?
Yeah. And I'm like very, very regimented because I, you know, have an office job. So it's like either 7 to 5 or 8 to 6. And then I get off at noon on Fridays, which sometimes that just feels like. Sometimes it feels like a 3-day weekend and sometimes it just feels like a throwaway. Like the week was like so long that you're like, well, I guess I have four extra hours, you know, on a Friday. And I'm not in that like party phase anymore. Like I feel like.
Start drinking at 12:01.
Right. Yeah. 5 years ago, I would have been like, all right, you know, let's get this party started at like noon on Friday. But now I just go home and like sweep, you know?
Yep. So. That's how it has evolution, I feel like.
I haven't really done anything either. I took my dog for a walk. We went to the new Starbucks in Nichols Hills. And I was, you know, posting on Instagram, obviously. And the tag, the location tag is Rich White People Starbucks. Like,
wait, really?
Someone had gone on there and grabbed that location, and that's what they named it. Like before Starbucks could get
this
in there.
This is on the Instagram
location.
So if I tap that little thing on there, it would typically say like
Starbucks.
Really?
It says Rich White People Starbucks, which had me cracking up.
That's funny.
And so I'm like, but true though.
Whoever did that should come out and just like say it was him. That's very clever.
I'm like that. Somebody had to plan that because they were building that Starbucks.
Right, they would have to know
for a while.
Some inside info.
Yeah. So we did that and then went back home, did some stuff around the house, and then came out here. But I was cracking up.
Dang. Makes me want to go there now.
You should.
Although I did go there and the Wi-Fi was kind of, it was like their first weeks. Maybe it wasn't awesome yet. But I'm also not a big fan of like, I don't know if it's like their new modeling system. So I think the one by Torchy's.
Okay.
Somewhat new.
Uh-huh.
They have like that huge long table mm-hmm. for sitting.
Yeah.
And then they just have like this background of open seats mm-hmm. kind of. I feel like I'm like in a library, like having to sit with like a table with people.
Right.
This feel like I feel like more like segmented.
It also feels very bigger city to me, like that there's a lot. Like in Chicago, like
they need that seat.
Yeah, yeah, there's yeah, a lot more don't. People that are coming in and like working on their laptops. No, we don't. Like, we don't need that. But no though. One, yeah,
it's not here.
Everyone's in their house in Yukon, and they're like not coming to this Starbucks right. to do work. Yeah, I got you. I didn't really. I just went in, grabbed my coffee, and came back out because I tied my dog up. But yeah, this is rich white people. So that was
not. Not false.
Not false. So we're going to jump into the first segment, and that's Eat of the Week. Do you have something that you've been eating lately that you're into or a restaurant? I don't really have anything this week.
It's not new. Mm-hmm. It's kind of just like a little throwback. I've been doing some overnight oats.
Okay.
And it's mainly just like a laziness thing because mm-hmm. I have this huge discrepancy between I love breakfast and mm-hmm. breakfast food the most.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Just hands down the most. But I hate cooking in the morning. Mm-hmm. I hate like, I just want to just like grab a coffee and
yeah.
Read or something. I don't want to like manually do stuff in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, meh.
Yeah.
And I usually my laziness wins.
Yeah.
So doing the overnight oats where I can just prepare it and then like, I literally just grab it out of my fridge.
Yeah.
Like add protein powder, mix it up, and mm-hmm. I'm like,
good to go.
2 minutes of my morning and yeah. not 30 minutes of my morning. So
overnight oats are also good because in the summer they're cold.
Right. That's true. I didn't think about that, but
you're not like heating your body up like you would with regular oatmeal.
Yeah.
Do you put any like fruit or anything on it or just like straight up oats?
And my recipe is like oats, peanut butter, some vanilla Greek yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
Think that's it. Oh, some like unsweetened cocoa powder.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will just put that in the refrigerator. I don't really have like a reason for why I do this. I just don't think it would mix well. And I leave that there and I just add a like a chocolate whey protein
mm-hmm.
in the morning. So I don't think that's very soluble to like leave.
Yeah.
So I would just put that in last minute.
Protein powder acts weird sometimes. It's not. Yeah. It's not the.
So you put it in the fridge and
yeah.
cool it. Yeah. So I just put that last second. And it's pretty good for a breakfast. You don't have to really. I can do it in 5 minutes at night and then it's done.
Tomorrow, yeah. You know? I'm not a huge overnight oats person just for the texture aspect. I'm not a huge oatmeal person yeah. either. Like every so often I'll go for it, but that I usually go for eggs in the morning. So like a hard boiled egg or scrambled eggs or whatever. So I'm more of an egg person.
Yeah.
But overnight oats sometimes are a nice cool treat
right.
for a summer day.
Someone could cook me some eggs and bacon and pancakes. I would
yeah. that. Yes, takes, I would like
takes
that
more
too.
Time.
Yeah. I like biscuits and gravy. That's probably like my favorite. Yeah. I did go to Hop Dottie okay. last weekend.
That's the cool thing right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. They offered me like to go as like a media
yeah.
person. So we went and delicious. I mean, just as good. I had eaten at the one in Austin a couple years ago, but just as good as the one in Austin. They were like, order however many burgers you want. So okay. we got four burgers and then we split them in fourths and we ended up with like half of that gone. So we each probably had one burger
right.
each. And French fry. Everything's good. Everybody should go eat there. It's just kind of stepping up Oklahoma City a little bit more, you know,
yeah.
Restaurant wise. So glad that they're here. I'm going to do a blog post next week about it. So look out for that. And then next week I will be releasing my Breakfast Battles newsletter, and we're going to talk about cereal. So Ooh. Do you have a favorite cereal?
I do love cereal. Probably if I had one cereal just the last day of my life, it'd mm-hmm. be Captain Crunch.
Okay.
But I hate that. Just ruins your mouth
oh
and
my,
your teeth.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happens.
I know.
But it does.
Yeah.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Mm-hmm.
I was big Reese Puffs growing up, but I think I just ate too much of it. Now mm-hmm. I just can't do anymore. But
yeah.
Captain Crunch is usually my go-to.
It's so funny because I have a lot of listeners that are millennials. So I have gotten so much feedback on cereal. Like whenever I ask about it,
right.
I did like a cereal survey and I had like 150 responses. I'm like, that's insane.
Different types?
It was kind of like, do you like cereal? What do you eat cereal with? Did your parents let you eat cereal? A lot of people, and I was the same way, their parents did not let them eat sugary cereal. My mom was like, you have to pick out a cereal that's lower than like 3 grams of sugar per serving or something. So now as an adult, I only like Cheerios, Chex, like all the ones that are like very bland. Yeah. It's truly interesting.
I had friends like that were like Honey Nut Cheerios were their treat.
Right. Like, and like, I don't even like, now I don't like Honey Nut Cheerios.
Dang, okay. You guys are living over there.
So that was one of the questions on the survey. I was like, do you resent your parents now? Because they wouldn't let you eat sugary cereal.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the same way with like Coke, my parents never let me drink Coke or anything. So growing up, I don't even.
You use Coke as a category for all soda? It's like a Texas thing, right?
Well, I think of Coke as
Colas
and like full sugar sodas. So my dad has diabetes, so he would always have Diet Coke.
For the health department, you can turn that shit in.
Oh, yes. One time, I will edit this out, but one time I got food poisoning from the Hideaway Ranch. But it was the old Hideaway on Western, not the new Hideaway. Okay. So ever since then, I've been like,
oh.
Okay, so you have your favorite restaurants. Yes. We're going to talk about grocery shopping because you said you love grocery shopping. And let me tell you that Carrie has given me a very valuable piece of information in my life and that I've used for the past 3 summers. And it's the pool.
I didn't get to go this summer.
The apartment pool. I think I went twice.
Okay.
I didn't go a ton.
It is a secret apartment pool. I don't know if we can tell you where
it is.
No,
we're not going to say the address of it.
It is Oklahoma City's hidden gem.
Yeah.
It's a nice pool. It's never crowded.
You can walk right in.
Yeah, they don't ask you if you live there.
Yeah.
You can bring alcohol.
Yeah. You can bring a cooler.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. But I remember one time we were there together and we were talking about the grocery gauntlet because I was doing the grocery gauntlet and you love grocery shopping. So tell me about where you grocery shop and what you love about it.
Okay. So I used to be a Sprouts only girl.
Okay.
That I used to go there every single Sunday, never went anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Then Trader Joe's came along.
Yeah.
And then recently, I've gotten into the new Homeland.
Oh, okay.
Because it's 6 minutes from my house.
Okay.
I timed it one day. So I would say right now it's Trader Joe's, Homeland, and occasionally Whole Foods.
Okay.
I went to Whole Foods the other day thinking I was going to buy coconut water, and I spent $97.
That's the worst.
So I have to go in there thinking I'm going to spend like 5 times what I thought I was going to spend.
Mm-hmm.
But for normal everyday groceries, I would say Trader Joe's and Homeland. Mm-hmm.
I've been on a Aldi and Trader Joe's vibe lately.
I don't think I've ever actually shopped at Aldi.
I'll have to take you for your first time because there's a lot of confusing things.
Isn't there a new one on May and 50th?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the one I go to now.
Okay.
So there is one by my work, which was on Memorial May. So sometimes I would go there like on my way home. But I go at 9 a.m. when they open to the one on 50th and May because it gets kind of crazy sometimes. But you have to take a quarter to get your cart.
Get your cart.
And then you have to have your bags. But there was this tweet, and I always think about it like when I'm at Aldi. And it's like this guy saying, like, when I'm a kid, man, my parents shop at Aldi. Like, we're so poor, like, blah, 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 blah. And then it's like, when I'm an adult, look at all this weird shit that I got at Aldi. I'm like, literally, I'm like, oh, green jalapeno paste. Yeah, I need that. Like, it's just like you throw it in your cart.
So explain to me how Aldi and Trader Joe's are the same.
They are the same because they source their products from the same distributor, but they slap the Aldi sticker on it and they slap the Trader Joe's sticker on it. Trader Joe's has more
selection
and more trendy foods.
Okay.
Aldi is for like your average someone that's going to be going to Walmart, they don't need a cauliflower rice bowl with tahini dressing or what. I bought that today at Trader Joe's. But it's like, they don't need that. They need just like chicken thighs and they need, you know, sausage and they need frozen shrimp or whatever.
Okay. So same price point? Yeah.
Same price. So the goat cheese, which I've been really into goat cheese lately, the goat cheese at Aldi, I bought it at Aldi, it was like $2.29, and it was the same price at Trader Joe's.
Okay.
So there are some things that are the same. So they had this like cilantro yogurt dressing at both Aldi and Trader Joe's, and it had the exact same ingredients in it, but it was just marketed differently.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So Aldi is like really good for your pantry staples, your flour, your whatever, because they're not going to market up a little bit like Trader Joe's is.
Okay.
But Trader Joe's is good for like your cauliflower gnocchi, you know? Yeah. So
I have noticed with Sprouts and Trader Joe's that I can go into Sprouts and buy like my groceries for the week and it's like $100.
Yeah.
And I can go into Trader Joe's and buy my groceries for the week and it's like $60.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So much less expensive.
I don't love the produce at Trader Joe's.
No. It's not as good as Sprouts.
Aldi's pretty good though.
Okay.
But if you're like, I need leeks, you might not find that at Aldi.
Okay. Okay.
But you're going to find tomatoes. You're going to find jalapenos. Okay. You're going to find whatever.
We can go.
I'll take you. Okay. It's a lazy river. It's the best. I cannot wait until, you guys, October 1.
Oh.
When the wine happens. Wine is going to be everywhere. Wine and beer.
So, okay. What? So, grocery stores are going to sell wine and beer. Can liquor stores sell beer cold?
Yes.
So, like, they can sell Coop beer cold.
Literally, Byron's has installed a giant freezer or a giant, like, cold beer
walk-in
case.
Fridge.
Yeah.
So, someone tweeted at me the other day that it is up to the county commissioners to put on the ballot to decide if liquor stores can be open on Sundays.
Ooh, for the November election? Or for...
I don't think it would be for this election. I think it's just for future elections.
Okay.
So someone tweeted at me, like, if you get elected, would you fight to put this on the ballot?
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, well, yeah, if it's going to bring in more sales tax money, and if the owners of those stores are in support of it, like, let the people vote on it.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily saying, with that decision, I'm not necessarily saying I support it or not support it. I just support people being able to vote on it.
Right. To make the choice.
If, yeah.
Which is like, it's kind of a crazy prohibition era.
It's like, why do we, I realize Sunday for a lot of people is a very like special day and has a lot of meaning. But why are we picking this one day of the week where it's like, quote, wrong.
Right.
To sell alcohol.
And then Monday morning at
10 a.m. it's okay now.
Yeah. It's weird. And then I'm like, let's get Chick-fil-A open then. Let's get it open.
That'll happen.
Okay, so we've kind of already segued into it, but everybody meet Carrie. she's a what is your job? What is your day job right now?
So my day job, I work for the Oklahoma City County Health Department.
Okay.
So just FYI, we are very separate from the state health department.
Okay.
We're kind of our own government entity. Mm-hmm. So we get funding from your property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And we are kind of an arm of the city and the county.
Okay.
So I manage all of our community partnerships.
Yeah.
And our coalition.
Okay.
Which includes projects that you all may have heard of, like Open Streets.
Yes.
Our new mobile market.
Mm-hmm.
And then our coalition has several working groups that tackle different health issues in the community. And I'm kind of the mediator of all these agencies working together on projects.
And you've been doing that for how long?
So I've been at the health department for 5 years.
Okay.
I've been in my current role for almost 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a couple different jobs there.
Okay, tell us a little bit about the mobile market, because I remember when, and don't fall.
I almost fall off my chair.
Because I remember when we were at the pool, we were talking about grocery stores, you were like, this is happening. Like, it was in like the planning phases.
Yeah. So a couple years ago, the Oklahoma Beverage Association, which is now Southwest Coca-Cola Bottling Company.
Okay.
It's basically like the local company that manages
all Coca-Cola products, mm-hmm. like distribution. So they gave us meaning City County Health, they gave us this old Coca-Cola delivery truck, mm-hmm. a 16-foot truck. So not like a huge semi, but a pretty big truck. Mm-hmm. They just gave us this truck. I was not in my position, my current position, when they gave the truck to us. So I'm not sure if they gave it to us with the intention of using it for getting fresh food out into the community. I assume that's why they gave it to us. So it is we have this truck. We sent it down to San Antonio to this company called Cruising Kitchens.
Okay.
And they retrofitted the whole inside have shelving and refrigeration and like prep space and a serving window. Mm-hmm. And then they brought the truck back. So it's a partnership between City County Health, the Regional Food Bank, now Southwest. I really need to get their
Coca-Cola.
Name right.
Coca-Cola.
Southwest Coca-Cola Beverages.
Okay.
And several of our board members put in some money to help with it. Mm-hmm. And then right now we're kind of in a partnership with Metro Technology Centers.
Okay.
So the truck, if you ever see it, the wrap around the outside of it is like bright, really bright big fruits and vegetables. And it says OKC Mobile Market. So mm-hmm. it's pretty hard to miss. So the original intention was to fill this truck with fruits, vegetables, shelf-stable items, poultry, meat, like meat, mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff. So like a mini grocery store. Mm-hmm. And take it into neighborhoods that have really bad access to grocery stores, mm-hmm. Typically called, we call them food deserts.
Okay.
So there's certain zip codes in the county mm-hmm. that are deemed food deserts.
Yeah.
So a lot of people in those zip codes get their grocery, like we'll go to the gas station or like the mom and pop mm-hmm. corner store to get some of their food.
Yeah.
And obviously we know there's not mm-hmm. a lot of healthy options there.
Yeah.
So that was the original purpose. We, after kind of going round and round with the food bank and trying to figure out how are we going to price this? Like, this is really a small business. Mm-hmm. Who is going to manage the money? Mm-hmm. Is this really going to be a huge barrier for some people? So we have moved more into using it just as a point of distribution. Mm-hmm. And we're just doing fruits and vegetables for right now.
Okay.
So we've taken the truck out, I think, 4 times. Mm-hmm. And we work with the food bank. Sometimes we purchase food from the food bank and they're kind of like our middleman.
Okay.
So they work with their wholesale suppliers. And so I'll order like pineapples, carrots, bell peppers, celery, and strawberries. Mm-hmm. And some of it is donated items okay. that the food bank is already planning to give away. And okay. some of it we purchase through the food bank. So like we went out this past Thursday. We went to, and the partnership was with Metro Tech, is that we go and serve their students.
Oh, okay.
And it's completely free. So we took out the business model of having people pay for items. And we're just trying it out with just giving away. Everyone walks up and can get a 10-pound bag.
See, that's awesome.
Fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, that's great.
And so we've gone out to Metro Tech 3 times. We had the truck at 2 other community events. So I guess we've taken it out 5 times. But we kind of worked with Metro Tech just to get our feet wet and figure out, like, from A to Z, what does this look like? Who does what? Mm-hmm. Like, how long does it take? Just the whole thing.
Yeah.
So we've kind of gotten a system down. Now we are really wanting to take the truck into neighborhoods.
Okay.
And making it a lot more neighborhood based mm-hmm. and getting volunteers from neighborhoods and maybe even like offering them a stipend. Mm-hmm. And so really making the truck more of a local neighborhood thing.
Yeah.
Where people learn, oh, every Monday the truck is in my neighborhood at 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And we've done a little bit of surveying of our participants at Metro Tech
yeah.
to figure out how they would rate their food insecurity. Mm-hmm. So we ask questions on a survey, like an anonymous survey, like how often are you worried that you won't have enough food to make it to the end of the month?
Yeah.
So that's like a way to gauge someone's food security.
Okay.
So a lot of the neighborhoods we're wanting to go into, or they're all food deserts. They're mm-hmm. all within our target zip codes. Mm-hmm. The city of Oklahoma City has kind of picked out a few neighborhoods
yeah.
that they want to work with us on and getting the truck to go to those neighborhoods. So it's a work in progress. We've, like I said, we've taken it out 4 or 5 times. It's really fun
yeah.
to work on.
Yeah.
Like when people walk up, they're seeing their faces is really cool.
Yeah.
Because they're like, wait, this is free.
Yeah.
Like, and it's good produce.
It's good
produce. It's not like crappy produce that the food bank wants to get rid of. Like, it is nice stuff. There's strawberries sitting here in front of me that I brought. So on Thursday, we gave away strawberries, mangoes, bell peppers. Oh, what else did we do? I can't remember.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
And we always include recipes in the bag too. So everyone can go home and try a new recipe.
Yeah.
So that is the OKC Mobile Market. We have funding to keep it going in this way for probably like a year.
Okay.
And so after a year, we'll probably start looking for outside funding, maybe some grant funding.
Yeah.
I'd like it to go out 5 days a week.
Yeah.
I'd like it to have 5 neighborhoods that it's in and the community gets to know, oh, it's here on every Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
Especially those neighborhoods, like you said, that are like food deserts.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Because they just go to the corner store and get donuts or whatever. Like, yeah.
And we know that this is not really what these people need is a healthy grocery store in their neighborhood that has easy access. They can take the bus there. They can walk there. There's sidewalks. So we know that that ultimately is
like the goal,
the end goal. But this is more of a we are trying to insert ourselves into this community, get people a little more access for a brief amount of time, maybe change some of their eating habits, some of their cooking behaviors, and partner with the community. We've had a lot of groups contact us saying, oh, we want to do a cooking demo with the truck, or we want to have our walking club like volunteer on the truck. So there's a lot of opportunities to partner with stuff that's already going on in these neighborhoods.
Well, that's awesome.
So, yeah,
that's great. No. Yeah. I remember you talking about it and being like, we just got this truck, but we're not sure. So it's cool to see that come to fruition. Yeah. And you're a woman of many talents, but you're also, running for county commissioner.
Yes.
And local politics is really hot right now.
It is.
Everybody's into it.
I love that it's really hot because I was into it before it was cool.
So tell me and tell the listeners, just a layman's term, what does a county commissioner do?
Okay. That's a very good question. Can we also link them to my infographic?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's an infographic that we made that's really easy to understand.
I will put it in the show notes.
Okay. And the infographic explains what a county commissioner does.
Mm-hmm.
So in Oklahoma, every single county has 3 county commissioners, no matter how big or small or how large or small their population is.
Okay.
So Oklahoma County has 3 county commissioners and they are elected from districts.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe we are in District 1 right now, which is the district I'm running in.
Okay. You're in my district, wherever you are, because I'm still registered to vote at that old house.
Yes.
So I go to the 40th Street Baptist Church, and I'm like, vote for Carrie Bloomberg.
Yes. So they basically oversee where all of your property tax, how all of your property taxes are spent.
Okay.
So if you hear ad valorem taxes, that's basically your property taxes.
Okay.
So if you own your property every year, you probably get a letter in the mail from the county assessor stating how much your property value is, how much in taxes the county took last year, and where all that
is going.
For the most part, where all that went.
Okay.
So included in that is roads and bridges that are rural, so not within the bounds of a city.
Okay.
So when I knock on people's doors, they're like, oh, there's a pothole in front of my street. Are you going to fix that? And I'll say, well, that's actually like within the jurisdiction of city council. So that would be a call to your city council person.
Yeah.
So county commissioners oversee rural roads and bridges.
Okay.
The repavement and construction and all of that with rural bridges and roads. Then they oversee basically the whole county criminal justice system.
Okay.
Which includes our county jail, our county courthouse, and our county juvenile justice center.
Okay.
They make sure the library system is funded. They allocate money to the city county health department. And then they also fund the county pharmacy.
Okay.
And then some other social services. They pay for like one line of the Embark bus system. That's kind of considered a county like rural line. I think they fund some transportation for a few like county operated senior centers.
Okay.
So their job is kind of 3 parts. It's this roads and bridges piece, criminal justice matters, and social services.
Which is like all huge. I mean, it's all huge. Like,
so thank God there's three of them.
Yeah.
Three of them. They sort of function like the CEO of county dollars. So any spending by the county, any bid that goes out, any new building that's built, they approve all of that.
Okay.
Or disapprove all of that. So it's not like, so a, if you think of a state senator who is in session 4 to 5 months a year and they are drafting legislation and they're voting yes or no on certain bills, a county commissioner's job is a lot different than that. They, it's a full-time job. It's 4 years. Once you're elected, you serve for 4 years.
Okay.
It's full-time. It's paid, you're paid a living wage. You're actually paid very well compared to state senators and House members. So it's, I mean, it is a full, you could make it into a career.
Yeah.
There's no term limits, which I think is kind of odd.
Yeah, a little bit.
Whereas state senators and state House members, I think it's 12 years.
Okay.
I think. So that is what a county commissioner does.
So, so the spot that you're running for, is there just one open, so, or is there three open right now?
Right
or
now, how does it work? Two open because the woman who sits in District One is retiring.
Oh, okay,
and the guy who sits in District Three is also retiring.
Okay.
So Willa Johnson holds the seat now that I'm running for, but she's retiring. And then Commissioner Ray Vaughn
is retiring.
Okay. So, and it alternates. So in 2020, District 2 will be up for election.
Okay.
So there's never a time where all three commissioners are brand new.
So, okay. So you, you just won your runoff election and then you have a Republican opponent.
Yes.
Can you guys both get elected?
No.
Oh, okay. I don't know how that works.
So I had my primary in June and there was, so side note, I think county politics should not be partisan.
Okay.
I think it should be nonpartisan, but it's partisan.
Yeah.
So I'm running as a Democrat. There were four of us Democrats who were running and two Republicans.
Okay.
So in June, if you were registered as a Democrat in our district, you voted in the Democrat primary and there's four names on your ballot.
Yeah.
And then if you were a registered Republican, there were two names on your ballot. So in June, because I didn't win, you have to win at least 50% of the vote.
But you got pretty close to it, right?
I got 46%.
Okay. Yeah.
So I was really close. So when you don't win 50%, the top two vote getters go to a runoff in August.
Okay.
So there was a Democrat runoff to see who, which Democrat should go to the November ticket. Because there's only two Republicans, whoever won in June just goes to November.
Okay.
So now I'll face off against the Republican in November and whoever wins is becomes the county commissioner.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Okay. So everybody go vote for Carrie V. Hashtag elect women. What's your, what's your website that people can go and read about kind of what you're about, what you're into.
It is just carriebloomert.com.
Awesome. So go educate yourself on your local politics, because I mean, I feel like it is pretty hot right now. Like lots of people are talking about it. It's a good time, because before I was like, oh, I'm not going to vote in a runoff election. But now like people that I know are running and then it's like everybody kind of has an opinion. I think that's probably one thing that, one good thing that has come from like the Trump, you know,
lots presidential. Of women running and lots of, so I'm part
and I pay
of,
more attention to it.
Yes. So there's an organization called Run for Something. It's a national organization and they, their number one goal is to get people under 40 to run for local office. And so they, this is their first, they've only been around for like 6 or 8 months.
Okay.
They're pretty new.
Yeah.
No, maybe a little bit longer than that. Maybe they, oh, I think they started right after the inauguration.
Where are they based in?
New York.
New York? Okay. I didn't know if they were like local or national.
They have staff all over the country.
Cool.
So they are, what they're doing is endorsing local candidates and then providing them training if they need it, like training and support. And so I got endorsed by them, and it's been really cool to, I mean, they've endorsed like across the country, like hundreds of local candidates.
Yeah.
Like city council, county commissioner, like school board, any local election you can think of, they've gotten involved in. Mm-hmm. And their goal is just to get young people to run for local office.
I mean, it's so important.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need more voices. We need people of color. We need women. Yes. We need minority. Yes. Like we need all that.
Yes. And local government, here I am like really nerding out. Local government has a lot more effect on your daily life than what's going on in DC.
Right.
And even what's going on at the state capitol.
Yeah.
Because think about if there's a pothole in front of your house, it's a lot more annoying. You see that every single day.
Yeah.
Or if, let's say you're a stay-at-home mom and you take your kids to the library and your library shuts down.
Yeah.
Like it's all these little things that you don't think about that are local government.
Yeah. And when it comes to like the national level, it's so in everybody's face if you let it be.
Yes.
So it's like, that's what.
Yes.
I listened to Up First, the NPR podcast Up First. Have you ever listened to
it?
No. It's like 12 minutes long.
Okay.
It tells you what you need to know for the day on the national level. And then I shut it off. Like, ooh, I'm done.
I should do that.
Yeah. So I listen to it every morning, like when I'm taking a shower.
Okay.
And so it's kind of like, these are the top three stories. And if there's something really crazy going on, I'll listen to The Daily. The Daily it's like 24 minutes.
Okay.
And they do like a big story and then they have like, but then I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm not going to engage in that life.
I don't have a TV.
Okay.
I get all of my news from apps on my phone. Or Twitter.
Yeah.
But
it's so funny when I go home and talk to my parents and they're like, do you know about Kevin Stitt? And I'm like, not really. I mean.
And I like not having a TV.
Yeah.
However, I don't know how to describe this. I feel privileged to not have a TV.
Yeah.
Like I get to tune that stuff out.
Yes. That's because so true.
Yeah. Because it would just, I know my anxiety, and I know if I were to watch CNN every morning, I would die from anxiety. Like when I travel for work, watching TV when I get ready in the morning is like a treat.
Yes.
Like watching the Today Show or Good Morning America, it's a treat.
Yeah.
And if I were to do that every morning at home, it would just, my anxiety level would go through the roof.
When it comes to that, I'm like, I am too busy trying to get out the door in the morning. Like, I don't have time to, like, I need to be better. I used to be a crazy morning person. I need to be better at being a morning person. Okay, so everybody go visit carriebloomer.com.
You can also, I'm pretty active on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to say. I love your Instagram. I love the fact you post the pictures of the cute doormats, and then you do it in, like a collage.
Yeah.
And it's a way to be like, this is something cool that I'm seeing while I'm out, but like I'm also out.
Yeah.
You know, it's like great. It's great.
It's a nice blend of I'm showing you that I'm campaigning, but it's also like engaging, fun content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And also every time you see like an animal, you're just like,
I know.
You're just like, and who doesn't like to see a cat or a dog on Instagram stories? We are both huge dog lovers. Yeah. Obsessed. I have to show you the pictures I took. I'm doing a blog post that's like the shop dogs of Midtown.
Oh,
so yesterday me and Marissa went around Midtown.
What are the other shop dogs of, am I gonna ruin your post?
No.
What are the other dogs?
So there's Boz.
Yeah.
And
he's like the king of shop dogs.
Right. And Boz is like,
I took my mom there the other day and she goes, don't you think he would be happier on a farm?
I'm like, no, and I was thinking, nothing bothers
he
him.
He seems pretty happy here.
Yeah. I remember when the car, you can swipe, right.
Oh, so is this next door?
That's in shop mode.
Yes, I love this dog.
Simba.
Who is this?
That's Lucy.
Oh, she is so cute.
And that's at Chirps and Cheers.
I didn't know they had a shop dog.
Yes. I think that the lady that is running it now is new, and maybe that's her dog. But yes, they are adorable and the best, and I love dogs. So these are taken with my new I got a Sony A6000 camera. So I had been thinking about it for about a year. And I was like, I'm going to try to take better pictures. So I tried to take better pictures on my phone for about a year. And then finally I was like, okay, I'm going to get a nice camera. So, yes. So we love dogs. You have a dog. You have two dogs.
Yeah.
You have Dottie.
As of this morning, I have two dogs.
Dottie and Taco.
So I have a dog named Dottie. She's a little terrier rescue. Mm-hmm. She was a stray dog. I've had her for 5 years. And she has her own hashtag. So go to Dottie B-O-K-C.
Yeah.
And then a couple months ago, I started talking about getting another dog.
Okay.
But I told my family I was going to wait until after the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And after June 26th, which was my primary, the next morning I was on the phone with my mom, and my birthday was 2 days before the primary.
Okay.
So I was on the phone with my mom. We were talking about my birthday. She said, well, I have your gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, tell me what it is. Tell me.
Yeah.
And she goes, it's a puppy.
And I was like, who doesn't want a puppy for their birthday? Come
again? And she said, I've had him for 3 weeks and I haven't told you. So my mom took it into her own hands to go out and get me a dog. And so I just went and picked him up yesterday because I couldn't, there's no way I could have another dog during the runoff campaign.
Yeah.
Because that was just nutso.
Yeah.
So my mom has kept him at her house for 3 months, which has been really nice because she did all his shots and all that stuff. So his name is.
And maybe
is,
like potty trained him a little
a
bit.
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah. His name is Taco.
And he's adorable.
He is a Chiweeny. He's half Chihuahua, half Dachshund.
Yeah.
So we will see what it's like to have two dogs.
I think it's really good for them because I had Amy and there was always something wrong with her. Like she was sick or she had an ear infection or she, you know, I was like, I felt like, what's the disease, the Munchausen by proxy. Like I felt like that because I'm like always taking her to the vet and like, is she okay? Like whatever. And as soon as Maverick,
which is that your little dog's name?
Yeah, that's my boyfriend's dog.
Oh.
As soon as
I always wondered where that dog came from.
Yeah, he just showed up one day, literally. And I was like, why is this dog barking so much? Because Yorkies are like extremely yappy.
Yes.
Like they love to, that's how they communicate. That's how they release anxiety. Like, and they were.
You've obviously done your research on this.
Yeah, because I was like. Because when Mike started dating and he was over all the time, I'm like, why is he barking so much? Because Amy, like, never barked.
Yeah.
And so they were ratters before. So they would crawl into, like, really small places and, like, look for rats and, like, bark or whatever.
Oh.
So they're, like, little hunters. And
that's kind of how Dottie is.
Yeah.
Terrier.
Yeah. So now I love him. Like, I love little dogs, and I'm obsessed with them, and I can't wait to be an old lady with, like, a little dog in my lap.
My favorite thing that Mallory, I think, ever did was you did a question thing on Instagram, and you said, what kind of things do you say to your dog?
Yes.
And you said, are you just being little? Are you just being little?
Are you just being little?
And now I say that to my dog, too.
I love that. I'm always like, how did you get to be that little?
I say, how are you so cute? Yeah. How do you do it?
How do you do it? And they're like, what are you saying? No, I really think. And so after Maverick moved in and I got used to Maverick and she got used to Maverick, they like love each
other.
Yeah. They tolerate each other sometimes, and then they love each other sometimes.
Okay.
So it's like, and then since then, she hasn't been to the vet for anything.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it's really, really weird. I don't know. She's always been kind of an anxious dog, and she was on anxiety medication. So
my jaw just dropped.
We were both on the same anxiety medication.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so
two peas in a pod.
Yeah, I know. But when we got Maverick, Mike was feeding her in the morning, and then one day I was like, have you fed her anxiety medication? He's like, no, I just stopped. And she's been fine since then. So she's off. Yeah.
I didn't know dogs had anxiety.
She had I got her from the shelter, and she had really bad separation anxiety.
Oh,
so
okay.
She would tear up the house.
Oh.
She would try to get out of her crate.
Okay.
She would throw up in the mornings, like, because she knew I was leaving, like, just, like, crazy bad anxiety. And then she was on the fluoxetine, which basically just made her tired. But then once she got used to me, and then once, like, Maverick came along,
okay,
we all kind of, and now I'm off of it too. Okay. So, like,
everybody's on the up and up.
I'm on something different now, but we're all on okay. the up and up. Yeah.
Okay.
So but dogs are the best, and they're my yeah. favorite part of the day coming home.
I know.
They're so excited to see you. Okay, we haven't talked about food a lot, but we're gonna talk about food now.
Okay, good.
You know, they're tired of listening to me talk about food. Seriously.
Okay, good.
One thing that you had texted me, I was like, well, what do you want to talk about? You were like, I love candy.
Yes.
So let's talk about candy, your favorites,
okay.
the ones you don't like, the ones that you can't live without, all those things.
Okay. I am a gummy candy person.
Okay, I think I knew that, like, intuitively.
I just put out that. We almost, like, went to Potbelly's because it was so close. I was like, I'm not eating at Potbelly's yeah, in Chicago. And I'm like, here for two nights. So we, like, went to Rick Bayless' taco place, and we had to, like, eat the tacos standing up and looking at other people sitting down. It was so awkward. It was good, though.
Yeah. But actually, I would have been the same way, though.
I was like, I'm just going to make it happen.
Yeah.
But.
So it's changed a lot yeah. since you've been here. That's mm-hmm. that's cool. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. Do you have a favorite part of the food scene?
I think for me, it's you know, there was a lot of new stuff opening in DC too, but it has a different feeling here. Mm-hmm. Like it was so crowded in DC, but in Oklahoma City, I feel like there's a lot more opportunity, but there's also this level of excitement where people want the restaurants to succeed, mm-hmm. which I think is different you
yeah.
know, than some other big cities. People are like proud of like, yeah, the restaurants are getting better. They're mm-hmm. getting cooler, you know,
yeah.
getting like different types of places and different styles. And I think that's really neat. Like, in some other cities, you know, new places open, it's like, oh, another, like, new place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have to wait in line, not get a reservation.
But there's an excitement you know. Here about yeah. it.
You're
like,
here,
oh, I can't wait to go.
I feel like everything is accessible and everything. And there's this excitement to it because mm-hmm. it's like, oh, I can't wait to try that. It's going to be cool. I'm going to, you know, hopefully see it.
Yeah.
Other people and my friends there. So I think that's really unique and something that you mm-hmm. know, we've really enjoyed here.
It's optimism instead of pessimism
yeah.
around food. That's awesome. Yeah. Okay. So everybody that's listening needs to go visit your website, thetastyescape.com. Follow them on Instagram, Waffles and Whiskey. It's an N in the middle. and then The Tasty Escape is Casey. And follow them. Give them some likes. Hit them up. They're going all around the city. So we better be all invited to the same soft openings from
yeah,
now on
I hope so
we can hang out. Yeah. And as always, you can follow me on OKCOverEasy.com. Sign up for my newsletter. It goes out every Thursday. Next week is Breakfast Battles, which is it's a monthly series. So I do Eat of the Week 3 weeks out of the week and then Breakfast Battles. And it's already written. It's ready to go. And it's cinnamon rolls versus donuts. So it was a hot topic around the water cooler at the office. I always go in and ask like food stuff to my coworkers. Sign up for that. And then I'm OKCOverEasy on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. So I don't really post that much on Facebook, so don't follow me there. But follow me on everything else. And thank you guys for coming. It was so nice to meet you.
Yeah, thanks for having us. This was a lot of fun.
All right. See you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.
And it wasn't so impactful.
Mm-hmm.
But I found for a lot of people, and it's sort of a mindset thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you're already in an area like going to a barbecue or going to a fancy restaurant where there's going to be tasty food and you're excited about it,
mm-hmm.
going into that hungry because you ate less during the day
yeah.
is sometimes like a double whammy,
right?
Where you're in a bad environment and you're kind of physiologically ready to pounce.
Mm-hmm.
So instead for that, and some people can do that and be fine, right? But people that do get super hungry and that causes them to overeat even more,
uh-huh.
actually have them eat a meal pretty dang close before they're going to go eat their next meal.
Okay.
So say if you're having dinner at like 7:30,
mm-hmm.
I would actually have them, I know everyone can't do this, but a snack, a small meal, whatever, at like 5.
Okay.
Like 2 to 3 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
Enough time that you're not just gonna like ruin your appetite,
right?
And, like, have, you know, chips and queso and be done. But pretty dang close. You're not gonna go into that meal hungry,
right?
Right, and that kind of pre-meal before you go and eat out should be something just, again, high protein, high vegetables, stuff that's going to fill you up a decent amount before you go and have that meal. And that's been very successful for a lot of my clients because they still can have some fun food, which, again, I don't want people to avoid that, right? I don't want them to bring their own food to a restaurant. I don't want them to eat at home and just sit there and drink water with their friends.
Yeah.
They can have some fun food, but because they kind of already go into that meal semi-full, their portions aren't going to be the same as what they typically would have. So if it definitely, if it's like a ad lib intake, like you're at like a barbecue or a cookout, that's like really important to do because you can just eat
right,
and then hang out and then go eat some more, you know,
and you're just snacking and you don't even realize that
very,
you're doing it,
very unconscious. So that's probably, from a practical standpoint, the best thing I can give people is to have a high protein with like a fruit or vegetable, say 2 to 3 hours away from that meal whenever you're going to go eat. And actually, again, some people can do the eat less during the day, eat more at night, but more of my clients have been successful with just a normal intake, but then getting that last meal, if it's a dinner, pretty dang close to when they're going to go and eat out. And lastly, I think that the general tenets that I promote with flexible dieting, meaning going back to if it fits your macros, you know, if it's a random Tuesday night and your friend's watching a baseball game and he has pizza and you can fit a slice of cheese pizza into your macros, like have one piece of pizza on a random Tuesday,
right?
If it's not like an outing. And I do think having that flexibility for people to essentially eat whatever they want within reason into their macros, when they do go into that scenario of a cookout or going to a restaurant or whatever, because they don't feel so restricted generally, they're not just going to like pig out.
Right.
Versus if you've been on like this no sugar, no gluten, no dairy kick for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then your friends ask you to go to Hot Dottie and you want to get like the extra large cookie milkshake because you haven't had sugar in 2 weeks. That's going to probably happen.
Yeah.
But if you had like sugar, you know, in your coffee this morning, maybe you're just like, oh, I don't really need a milkshake.
Right.
I'll just like have a drink of yours if I want one. So it tends to help people, I think, when your normal diet is less restrictive, to not just go crazy you go and eat out. So, but that is, I mean, I've been working on some educational material, like possibly an ebook for that. Of just like more like tangible stuff, like the eating a meal a couple of hours out.
Because I haven't ever heard that tip before.
Yeah. You know? And it's, again, it's very individual as far as what is successful for people. But that, and obviously traveling, which is kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
When you travel, you go and eat out. Even my best clients, like my most successful clients, really struggle with that. And some people, I'm not to brag, but just kind of like always been good at not overeating.
Yeah.
Can definitely just not have a problem there. But 90% of my clients who are weight loss clients, that's always a struggle for them.
So, yeah, traveling is hard.
Yeah, traveling, eating out is especially just, we grow up in a world now where we eat out more than our parents did and our grandparents did.
Right.
It's becoming a pretty good chunk of our intake. You know, like, even for a quote-unquote healthy person like myself, I probably eat out like on average once a day.
Yeah.
If I mean, maybe like I go several days without it, but then like on Saturday I eat out like three times you know? And if I count like, you know, grabbing a coffee somewhere, like that's still, you know,
eating
possibly
out.
Some calories for people.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a thing that I'm trying to get more tangible with people because it's certainly a struggle. Yeah.
Where can, I guess, people find your, you know, education, stuff like that? We're kind of running out of time.
Yeah.
So kind of let everybody know, plug yourself. Are you taking on clients right now? Kind of just let everyone know where they can find you.
Yeah. So for direct contact for me, you can email me at myobraincoaching@gmail.com. I also have a website, myobrainperformance.com. There's some educational material on there, but I've kind of gotten with the ways of social media and being more in there as far as like blogs and websites and stuff. So I'm mostly on Instagram for educational material, and I'm just at MyoBrain. So again, I try to do good, which is general tips on there, show the meals that I'm eating as far as educational stuff.
It's very helpful.
Yeah. And then if you want more direct education, I actually have a service. So obviously I take on clients. If you want what your macros are, you know, a consult, week to week check-ins, all that stuff. I do have client openings, but I also have a program. It's called MyoBrain Education, which is essentially what its name is, education stuff, where you get like a backlog of like all the videos and articles I've made for my clients in the past 5 years, and then all my new stuff that I make. So I'll have like, you know, a topic like how much sugar is too much, or should I take caffeine before I work out, or how much sleep should I get? And I'll do like these 5 to 10 minute videos, more so than what I could do on an Instagram post, right? So you actually kind of get some knowledge about it, not just sort of a very general recommendation. So the MyoBrain Education or those videos you get once a month of just sort of like random topics also as well. And that's like $12 a month. So that's kind of like a subscription thing.
Yeah.
A subscription thing for people if they do want more of the why behind things.